Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com. It's been a long summer, but it's almost over. And with summer usually comes USA basketball, and none other than Ben Golliver from SI is here to break down everything he saw in Vegas, what's next, and kind of fill us in for what to expect in 2016. How are we doing today, Ben?
Really good, man. How's it going?
It's beautiful out in Boston, and, you know, it won't be that beautiful in a few more months, so we might as well enjoy it and before it gets too crazy here. So my first question to you, Ben, is you obviously were out in Vegas for the week that they were out there, maybe a week and a half, if correct me if I'm wrong. Which players, in terms of physicality and their body shapes, which players really transformed over the summer in your eyes on the USA squad?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it was a four-day mini camp, basically. They did 2 days of practices, an extra day of meetings, and they did a little showcase game, which, you know, didn't really showcase many of the players, just kind of failed. So it was Blake Griffin and a bunch of other lesser stars. But, you know, in terms of the body type of athleticism and all that, I think the one guy that comes to mind is Anthony Davis. I mean, every time I see him, I feel like, you know, he's increased his size by like another 5%. So he looks even more like an NBA center now than he did, you know, say during the playoffs or, you know, the All-Star weekend. And I think, you know, his transformation into being one of the top, you know, three players in the NBA is basically complete at this point and looking very promising going forward. The other guy, he didn't really change a lot, but even when you get in this setting where you've got 34 stars and, you know, you basically have like the top 20 players in the world, the guy who continues to stand out athletically, even in that setting, is Russell Westbrook. He's just, you know, that much fiercer, that much quicker, that much more explosive. And it's kind of crazy to say that given that he's, you know, undergone, you know, multiple surgeries here over the last couple of years on various body parts. But he has not slowed down whatsoever. He's, you know, as poppy as ever. Those are probably the top two guys that really kind of jump out. You know, another one for the young big would be Andre Drummond. You know, he was throwing down some pretty insane dunks. You know, I think people probably saw that vine of Carl Anthony Towns where he's doing the between the legs dunk. And that was super cool. But, you know, Andre Drummond wasn't quite doing that. But for a guy his size, he was really getting off for throwing down some pretty ridiculous, you know, windmill jams, behind-the-back type dunks, the stuff you don't really see from a player his size or from a real traditional kind of low-post-oriented center. So I think if you're a Pistons fan, you're probably excited about that. But those would probably be the three big, you know, physical change type guys we saw this summer.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like the Pistons made the right choice in moving on from Greg Monroe and kind of building around on Andre Drummond. Based on the reports you're hearing and the kids constantly growing and going back to Anthony Davis, it's almost like he's going down the Dwight Howard path where, you know, he came in just a huge person and, you know, it takes a while to fill out these NBA bodies. You know, you're not going to be 20, 21 years old and, you know, be the strongest guy in the league. And that's why they say, you know, your prime usually comes in your mid-20s to high-20s. That's when you're grown into your body, in a sense, and you can really build that muscle mass. But another guy that I've heard whispers, you know, in terms of improvement, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the other guy you mentioned there, and Russell Westbrook, is Derrick Rose. I heard them two were just trading shots in the scrimmages and the practices, and you know, really going after each other. And people said, you know, they look like the two best athletes out there.
Who is it?
Derrick Rose.
Oh yeah, so Rose was actually a scratch for this year's camp. So last year he was a surprise, you know, addition or a surprise personality showing up, because remember he was coming off injuries and they didn't know
correct
if he was going to participate. So yeah, this year, and then he ended up making the World Cup team and he ended up winning a gold medal with that World Cup team. And you know, his play was up and down, but I do think he, you know, he really surprised people just by even being able to get back on the court, and he used that to kind of work his way back in. And, you know, this summer, you know, he was just a no-show. And I think part of the reason why he wasn't there is you look at the depth chart of that point guard position in terms of who's going to be able to make that Rio Olympics roster, and it's just insane. I mean, you've got Chris Paul and Steph Curry, who, you know, one of those two might not start on the Olympic team. Then you've got Westbrook, who, because they have so much talent at point guard, you know, he winds up playing off the ball a little bit more. So he's almost like a, you know, a two guard. And then you've got a guy like Kyrie Irving, who, you know, played for Coach K and sort of on the inside track maybe to make the team because of that relationship and because he was on that World Cup roster as well. So you've got four legit, you know, all-star point guards. So, you know, guys like John Wall, Damian Lillard, you know, Derrick Rose, I mean, they're on the outside looking in. I mean, Wall admitted as much. You know, he showed up to the camp and participated. And, you know, he's another just incredible athlete. He's coach physically. I think they gave him sort of pass medically, but, you know, he's coming off the injury that came in the playoffs. But
right.
He would love to start on an all-star team. They can't even find a roster for the Olympic team.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not easy building the United States team. But before we go into the your roster picks on your recent post and the kind of looking back at the two past teams, the 2012 Olympic team and the 2014 team that was put together, let's kind of break down for those who don't know how this new process is going. Because my understanding is Coach K and Jerry Colangelo are trying to figure out a way to limit the amount of commitment required by these athletes. They know they play an NBA season and, you know, they have their camps in the off season and these guys are busy. It's not like they're just sitting around in the summertime. So they've come up with a plan, from my understanding, to cut the amount of time required for practicing and this and that. And so kind of break down what the next steps are for this roster and narrow it down to a 12-man roster for the Olympics.
For sure. And Coach K and Jerry Colangelo kind of sprung this as a surprise at the very end of the camp after the showcase game. And what they said was they're going to have a pool of, you know, roughly like 20 to 25 players that they're going to announce during the middle of the season that they're going to pick the team from. Now, that being said, they're not going to actually have a camp or a tryout process or anything like that after the season. They're just going to pick the 12-man team from that pool once the NBA playoffs are over and once the draft is over. So what happens is it really becomes this insular approach where you're favoring players who have played in previous competitions to make this real roster. And if you're a guy on the outside looking in, like a Kawhi Leonard or a Draymond Green, who's trying to sneak onto this roster without having played for USA basketball before, you know, I think it makes it a lot tougher because this summer's mini camp, you know, it wasn't a real tryout. It wasn't a 5-on-5 play. It was very low key. If you combine that, you know, which wasn't a real showcase for make a team, by now without real summer to make a team. And I think if you're a new guy, you're kind of stuck. So I think it really favors the returning players. You know, the core group is LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul. I think the next group after that is guys like Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis. And then even other guys who have, you know, participated before, at least been involved with the program. So guys like Blake Griffin from that 2012 where he got injured, maybe even a Kevin Love, maybe a Kyrie Irving, a Steph Curry, a Scar. All these guys, I think, have a huge advantage just because the other guys aren't going to have a chance to show off what they can do. And so it's an interesting tweak and an interesting way to do it if you're USA basketball. And I think it actually could get a little bit sticky or a little bit tricky for two reasons. Number one, this whole Kobe Bryant factor coming out of nowhere, him saying he might want to have like cruise off into the sunset. I mean, that's a pretty valuable roster spot. You only get 12 of them. You're going to give one to Kobe Bryant, who clearly is well past his prime. And then number two, there's the Paul George factor. You know, if I'm Coach K and Jerry Colangelo, I feel very guilty or I feel very obligated after that injury that Paul George suffered last summer to almost try to make that situation right. You know, if you cut him from that Olympic team, not only does he not get a play on the World Cup team because he was injured, and not only did he take away an entire season of his NBA career, practically an entire season, but also you're maybe not letting him have the chance to get an Olympic gold medal on that Rio team, and that's pretty tough. So if I'm in their position, just sort of naturally human nature, I want to see if we can find a way to get him on that team, right? So now you've got
right.
two guys who are not among the best 12 players who are maybe going to be able to get roster spots for sort of non-basketball reasons. And I think it gets pretty dicey. That gets pretty tight. So I don't know. I think it's a real question mark. Are they handling this the right way? Should they actually have a tryout next summer? Should they just choose for basketball reasons? Or should they let some of this other stuff come into the mix?
You know, going to Paul George for a second here, he was excused from mini camp. And do you think that kind of plays into kind of what you were just saying there? They feel guilty from last year. And do you think that in Paul George's stake here, that, you know, he still feels comfortable enough that he is going to earn a spot by being excused from camp? I know he had the meeting with Coach K about that, and, you know, they granted his, you know, his leave from the team. So it almost sounds like you still think he has a decent shot at making this roster.
Oh, I think he's definitely still in the mix. You know, Coach K was saying lots of nice things about him at the camp, and I think the main reason why they just kind of let him be excused is because they didn't want him to answer 500 questions about how did it feel to break your leg at the game next year. How are you feeling about it afterwards? I mean, seriously, I think that was the reason why they did it. I mean, it was going to be a giant media storm if he was there. Even though he wasn't there, you know, media members were asking everybody from Anthony Davis to Kevin Durant, you know, how does it feel to try to put, you know, move past the Paul George injury? Or do you still want to play because of the Paul George injury? And so on and so forth. So, I think they were just doing him a solid there by shielding him from some of that attention, which I'm sure he didn't want. And then also the pace, they didn't really want him to play, 100%, 5-on-5. They didn't want him to get into a situation where maybe he was pushing himself in ways that he shouldn't be. So it was just kind of a cautious approach. But I think he still wants to be a part of it. And wouldn't you? I mean, if you're in his position, you go to camp last summer trying to make the World Cup team because you want a gold medal. You're denied that opportunity to do that. Of course you're going to want to be able to get a crack the next time up. And, you know, the Olympic gold medal, I mean, that's the real competition. That's what everybody's playing for. And you don't really know how many opportunities you're going to get to be able to do it, especially after a serious injury like that. I mean, absolutely, I think he wants to be in the mix.
Now, let's jump back to Kobe Bryant here for a moment, because I absolutely see the benefit of having him on the team, and it actually has nothing to do with basketball itself. It has to do more with global relations and, you know, bringing the stars that people want to see, because I think if you pull anybody in Brazil, you know, if you put Kobe Bryant's name down and, you know, all the other people whose spot he might take, I feel like Kobe would still win that, survey down there by the fans. Do you think that is going to play a factor into USA Basketball's determination? You know, does the NBA chirp in Jerry Colangelo's ear and Coach K's ear on selecting certain players to expand the brand of the NBA globally?
Well, I think it's a great point. The only person who you could say would be more recognizable than Kobe would be LeBron, right? So he's number two probably on that list and arguably number one. So do you allow the fame and the popularity to dictate your roster? I think that's a very tough question and a very slippery slope because you have to win the gold medal. I mean, if you're USA Basketball, the pressure is on. You have to do it. There's no excuses. And you know Spain and some of these other teams are going to really push you. I mean, Spain has not made it easy on the USA the last couple of times in the Olympics, to take home gold. So, you know, it doesn't do you any good if you bring this amazing marketing appeal of a Kobe Bryant and you have this amazing story you're trying to set up with him, you know, riding off into the sunset. It doesn't do you any good if you don't win the gold. And I think if you're risking it at all, it's not worth it. I think you could find some very good players to play in that spot. You could have a Kawhi Leonard. You could have an Andre Iguodala. You could have a Klay Thompson. I mean, some of those guys are going to be on the cutting room floor if you go ahead and bring Kobe. And, you know, previously, Kobe had said he didn't think he was going to play in 2016. And I hope he kind of sticks to that, because there's lots of guys who are deserving of being on that roster. They're guys who are closer to their prime years. They're guys that can fit this composition better by being maybe defensive-minded players, by being guys who don't need the ball in their hands. And I think, you know, it's kind of time for him to exit stage left. The other factor that we didn't mention in addition to the popularity is also the Nike relationship. You know, Kobe's got a signature shoe with Nike. Nike is a big-time partner with USA Basketball. Nike would be delighted if Kobe Bryant made this team, and they'd be delighted if a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's got his own signature shoe, could make this team too, because then potentially, you know, between Nike and Jordan, they could have, you know, every single one of their athletes. If it's LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, Blake Griffin, Kobe Bryant. I mean, those are all the signature guys for Nike and Jordan. So they would love to have every single one of those guys I just mentioned on that team. And certainly they would make tons and tons of money off Kobe being there.
So they don't want James Harden and Dwight Howard on that team, right?
Well, I don't think it's a negative like that. I just think it's one of those, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like,
political,
you know,
stuff,
you know,
right,
guys,
right.
Yeah, exactly. It's politics. I mean, you know.
Like, I believe the last, it was a 2014 team photo. I think they actually had, I forget who the player was. It might have even been back when Dwight was on one of the teams, but they actually had one of the Nike players, like his shoe was hidden in the photo, and like he had his hand over his the Nike symbol on his shorts. Like, it's just so funny, the politics and sports marketing there. But I want to jump to some of these comments.
Hey, goes all the way back to MJ. Don't forget. I mean, MJ was the one who was draping the flag over his Reebok jacket, you know, on the Dream Team. So the sneaker politics in USA Basketball goes back decades. It's really great.
Of course, it's all money, right? But let's jump to some of these comments. You alluded to John Wall's comment saying he didn't think he's going to make the team. And talk about a good sport here. You know, he still shows up. He's just being honest, doesn't think he's going to make the team because he probably knows, you know, they have their guys they like, people familiar with the system and the international game. But he still comes out, competes hard, and, you know, plays his best. But some of these other comments have just been ridiculous. And obviously I'm going to start with the first one that kind of blew up on Twitter, which is alluded to my tweet today when I asked, are the Clippers the least likable team in the NBA? Because you got guys like Austin Rivers tweeting that he thinks he's straight up better than a lot of these dudes on the USA Showcase last night. Let me ask you this question. Are there any players that Austin Rivers is better than on that showcase?
Well, I think from the 34 players that were invited to the camp, I don't believe that Austin Rivers is better than any of them, and I don't think it's really that close. Now, the showcase was a really strange thing that I've never seen before with USA Basketball because they didn't make it mandatory to compete, so everybody just left. So all the stars, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, all those point guards just left, and they brought in some guys who they didn't even actually have personalized jerseys for. So they just called up guys who were in Las Vegas at that time. They said, hey, Terrence Jones, Amir Johnson, do you want to come out here? I mean, they called up these guys who, you know, at least they were American. I mean, give them that. But
right.
They really had no affiliation with the USA Basketball program. So, you know, can you put Austin Rivers into the same kind of conversations as, like, a C.J. Watson, who was one of the guys they called up, who actually didn't show up? Yeah, maybe he's in the same conversation as that guy. But, look, I mean, whatever Austin Rivers needs to do to motivate himself to get ready for next season, he should do. And if, you know, publicly, you know, putting himself out there, I think that's okay. I can totally understand why someone like yourself or thousands of other people might say, look, that's not the most likable thing for a guy who was really on the margins of the NBA last year to put out publicly, especially at the expense of some other players. But, hey, the Clippers are really licking their wounds. You know, they're trying to get over last year. It was a horribly deflating end of the season, the way they went out of the postseason. You know, even guys like Blake Griffin have said, you know, it's been a real struggle and a real process to try to move past that loss. Because they thought they were finally over the hump, especially after they beat the Spurs and after they were up in that series 3-1. So whatever they've got to do to kind of get themselves mentally right, I'm willing to give them a little pass, but I don't agree with the substance of what he said.
Now, the next quote that came out here is very interesting. And I honestly, you know, forgive me for not writing who wrote this quote down, but the quote goes, bet on Melo making Olympics over Kawhi Leonard, who blew the press off Thursday after game. Everybody knows, I think it's Kawhi. He goes, everybody knows I don't do media. USA looks at that. How much stock do you put into that? Because, you know, he has the quote-unquote Spurs way of, you know, show up, do your job. I'm not here to talk to the media, and I'm just here to do a job. Oh, no, it looks like we lost Ben. Hopefully he calls right back here and we can answer that question for you. We'll throw a little jingle out and get a commercial. We'll be right back.
When the world's greatest athlete, Michael Jordan, teams up with the world's best-loved cartoon character, Bugs Bunny, you won't believe your eyes.
Pardon me, Mr. Jordan. Could I have your your John Hancock?
What's going on here?
We need your help!
You heard of the Dream Team? Well, we're the Mean Team.
Ready?
Yeah!
Doc.
Yes.
You kick it in here.
You go to the hole.
Bill.
And dominate.
We own defense.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I don't play defense.
Warner Brothers presents Jordan.
Look.
Bunny.
Special delivery!
Together, they just might save the world. Space Jam. You've never seen anything like it.
Mwah! And we're back with Ben, and as we were just discussing, we were talking about Kawhi Leonard's approach to not talking to the media and USA Basketball, looking at that to determine who they bring to the Olympics. And Ben, how much stock do you put into that comment?
I'm not willing to go all the way there with the person who made that comment, but there is some truth to it. I think start with Carmelo. I mean, take him out of it because he's going to be on the team because he's put in all these years. You know, if he's healthy and he wants to play, he's going to be there because he's part of that inner circle clique with LeBron and Chris Paul and guys who have really been representing USA Basketball for a long time. So it's not like it's Carmelo versus Kawhi. You just got to assume that Carmelo is going to be in if he's healthy. When you look at Kawhi, he doesn't play the politics game. I mean, that's exactly right. He doesn't care. The Spurs famously don't care. And that's part of it. You know, I give him a little bit of a pass for not doing a ton of media after that game because it was a silly showcase where it was kind of, you know, no defense being played. There were no stakes. It wasn't a real tryout. And it was just kind of a made-for-TV exhibition. A lot of the players who were even in that game aren't even going to be eligible to play for the team, you know, just guys like Amir Johnson we mentioned earlier. I mean, they're not even being considered. So it was a total scrimmage, and I don't think you necessarily need to hold him to that highest standard. But, you know, personality and politics and representing the country and being friendly to the media are all things that USA Basketball does look at as is star power. And let's be honest, I mean, Kawhi Leonard's won the Finals MVP, he's won Defensive Player of the Year, but he's not a very well-known star. He's not somebody like, to go back to your test about Kobe being recognized by the fans in Brazil. I mean, a lot of people probably aren't going to recognize Kawhi Leonard compared to Kobe. And so I think that is going to kind of work against him. I do think, though, if there's one player who I don't expect to make the roster, who I think should be on there, it is Kawhi Leonard. He's a great fit in the international game. He can play. He can really defend 2, 3, or 4 for you. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He can still score a little bit as a complimentary guy. You know, you can bring him out there, and he can lock down any of the elite wings for your key opposition teams, whether it's Spain or whoever else. You know, I do think he's the best defensive perimeter player in the NBA right now. So for all those reasons, I think he should be on the team from a basketball perspective. I'm just not sure he's going to be able to make that final cut.
Right, and it's a shame because you think Popovich having all those foreign players on a team, you think Thiago Splitter would, you know, go back to Brazil and tell the people about Kawhi Leonard. I think, you know, he needs to be known. He needs billboards all around Rio right now so people know his, you know, just put his hands up there as his hand symbol. That's what they need. Now, last quote that we have before we jump into breaking down the roster and looking at the competition here. It's a little silly quote. Someone asked DeAndre Jordan if he talked to Chandler Parsons before joining him with Team USA, and his response was, "Is Chandler here?" So I have to ask you, being there, eyes on the ground, did they interact? Did you see them? Were they both present at the camp?
They were both there. Parsons came in a little bit late. I did see them interact. They kind of gave each other a couple of head nods and a couple of waves. And, you know, Parsons is still dealing with that knee. So he was on a bike for a while. So he was just kind of riding the bike. And, you know, DJ was pretty close by. I think a lot of the hard feelings, at least the public hard feelings, are sort of, they've been expressed and people have moved on. I mean, Parsons really went after DJ, you know, calling him unprofessional. And a lot of the things, frankly, I agreed with what Parsons had to say. I think DeAndre realized he needed to take his lumps for this. You know, once he kind of, he got his hiding out of the way. Like, he hid after he made his decision, and then he realized that, you know, eventually after you go on vacation and come back, you do have to own up to it. And I think he's done a pretty good job of owning up to it. I think he realizes, you know, he's going to get booed, you know, mercilessly in Dallas. I think he's ready for that. And I think, you know, in general, he's a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, and I think he's trying to move forward. And I think Parsons and the Mavericks, I mean, they realize, you know, at some point, you can scream foul for, you know, 2-3 days, and that's fine. But you have to move past that, and you have to, you know, open the next chapter. I think that's what they're trying to do, too.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it is a, you know, fraternity, the NBA, and you know, although there's bad blood here and there, it's not like the 80s and the early 90s where there was really bad blood, and you saw it on the court on a daily basis. You know, all these guys have to work together. The collective bargain, speaking of, might be coming up soon. Let's not talk about it. But they all see each other. You can't, in this day and age, you really can't have too many enemies. You know, not too many people can be Kobe Bryant left in this world. But before we break down your roster, because I have your selections here, and I most likely agree a couple of guys I'd probably want to tweak, in my opinion, just to fit the game a little bit better. But experts are saying that this is probably the weakest field USA is going to have to go against in recent memory in the Olympics. Do you agree with that, or do you think there are some teams out there that, you know, really might surprise people? I know you mentioned Spain a little while ago. They've always been good, but they're aging. Are there any other teams out there that, you know, could really sneak up and give the USA a game?
Yeah, I don't know if the fields necessarily are like super weak, but I think that the United States' relative talent advantage could be as big as we've seen it in a long time, because this team could potentially just be absolutely stacked. I mean, if your front line is LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and all those guys are in their prime, forget about it. You know, I mean, that's a ridiculous team right there. And when we were going down our rankings for SI's like top 100, which we're putting out here in a couple weeks, you know, you can make a case that 24 of the top 25 players are American right now. And if it's not 24, it's probably 23. So,
Brent, I believe Marc Gasol was your 25.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you do it that way, you know, you could say that United States could potentially win gold and silver if they put two teams in the Olympics, right? So that tells you a lot about the talent advantage. So they should win gold. I mean, all the pressure should be on them. If you look at a lot of the biggest stars, the Tony Parkers and the Dirks and the Pau Gasols, I mean, all those guys have now passed 30 and they're sliding and they're no longer really capable of leading, you know, the charge. And I don't think the next generation of talent in some of those countries is as strong. You know, I don't see the big, young, international guys who are taking the NBA by storm right now. You know, Nicolas Batum is a very nice player. He's not Tony Parker. You know, some of these Spanish, you know, guys, even like Rubio, you know, he's not where he needs to be to sort of lead Spain against a team stacked with, you know, NBA All-Stars. So to me, even when we're going to parse the roster, you know, and we're going to argue about who should be the 11th and 12th guy, the bigger picture is very clear here. USA basketball is in a very healthy spot. They absolutely should win the gold medal. And remember, they sent basically a B team to the World Cup, and they smashed everybody in the World Cup. I think they won by like an average of 38 points in that World Cup. I mean, that's just a ridiculous margin of victory. And that's with a very young squad without a lot of the proven guys who should be back in the mix for Rio.
So going to your roster, your team of 12, I kind of broke them up into the three categories. We got the guards, the forwards, and the centers. On your roster, do you feel that they're taking too many centers in terms of, you know, you got Dwight, you got DeMarcus Cousins, you got Blake Griffin, you got Anthony Davis? Do you think guys like Dwight and DeMarcus might, more so DeMarcus, might slow the pace of play down, considering what the rest of the lineup looks like? And wouldn't they be better off running, you know, LeBron at the four and maybe keeping one or two centers being Blake and Anthony Davis? Or, you know, back in 2012, they had Tyson and Anthony Davis with Kevin Love in there.
So the reason why I carry the extra bigs is just for injury protection. You know, the way I see it, they like to play up-tempo. They like to play the small ball like you're mentioning. They're going to play guys like Kevin Durant, Carmelo, and LeBron are all going to get time at that power forward spot. And so that is going to make for a numbers crunch. I just don't want to get into a situation where Anthony Davis sprains an ankle, and now all of a sudden you're trying to guard Marc Gasol with Blake Griffin. You know what I mean? You don't want to
right.
have that mismatch. You want to have that extra interior depth. So even if those guys aren't playing huge minutes, they're at least on hand and available in the event that you need to go with two bigs when you're playing not only Gasol, but potentially like a Gasol and Ibaka front line for Spain. I mean, that's a lot of length and size, and you might want to go match up with two bigs against them. So that's the reason why I have the extra bigs. And also part of it, too, is just some of the other positions, you know, if it's Durant, LeBron, in the guard positions, we already talked about the depth there. I mean, those guys, you know, those positions, you're already going to have your key players playing big minutes at those spots, you know, once you get to the medal round. I mean, LeBron's going to play
right.
a lot. Kevin Durant's going to play a lot. You know, the guys behind them, to me, aren't quite as important, especially when you've got other scorers like James Harden and Carmelo Anthony. So, like, you know, worst case scenario, if Kevin Durant goes down, you've got replacements there. So that's the reason why I've got the extra bigs. It's just for depth and for, you know, injury risk prevention.
Right, right. And I like your guard selection. I have no issues there. Your guard selection, for those who have not seen the post, is Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. A lot of kind of hybrid guards there, two legit point guards with Steph and Chris Paul. So I think that's you know, no questions there. My only other roster question would be is, and I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, and I don't know if you're, you know, you were basing your roster on what you think is going to, like a prediction what they're going to pick or what you would pick, but you have Andre Iguodala in there, and, you know, he's gotten older. And we mentioned a player who is basically a younger version, better offensively, in Kawhi Leonard. How come you didn't put Kawhi Leonard over Andre Iguodala on your team?
Yeah, so this was my what you're reading right now is my guess. Like, if the Olympics started today, who would be on the roster?
Okay.
The reason why Iguodala was there was because he was like Coach K's like teacher's pet this week. I mean, or last week, Coach K brought him up multiple times as saying he was such a key to the previous USA basketball team. And they love this word equity in terms of, like, you build up equity if you play for USA Basketball in competitions. And Iguodala has that. Leonard doesn't. Now, I'm totally in agreement with you. If I could swap it, if I could put Leonard in over Iguodala, I would do it in a heartbeat. I think he's
right.
An even better fit for that same kind of role. But I think if push came to shove right now, which of those two guys would they take, I really think that they would take Iguodala over Kawhi.
It almost reminds me of Shane Battier. You know, he's not the best player out there, but you need those kind of role players because you can't have all stars. You need someone to kind of bring the team together, you know, so Coach K can pick that role player over two or three stars who, you know, are bickering about playing time or what have you. But I almost feel like that is gone. And do you think it's just this group of guys? They're just all good friends. You know, we know Melo, LeBron, and Chris Paul go out vacationing together, and, you know, they're all really close friends all around. Do you think that plays into the role that we haven't seen since, like, the I believe it was a 96 team where they finished third and it was a mess? It's just all these stars put together. It didn't really make any sense. Do you think it's the characters or the coaching staff that's there, or what do you attribute to the lack of animosity within these teams?
So I think it was the early 2000s teams that you're talking about where they really, like, you know, they got sidetracked. I think style of
Jermaine O'Neal, Paul Pierce team, right?
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah, and, like, you know, there were some other, you know, less savory characters, I think, on those spots. But I think style of play is really big, and I think it starts with LeBron. LeBron's always been a pass-first guy. You know, he's gotten knocks for that. In some cases during his career, they've been legitimate knocks because he needed to step up more as a scorer. But when he's your face of your franchise at this point, and he is the face of USA Basketball, you know, that sets the culture. And then Chris Paul is also a pass-first player. So those two guys right there as team leaders, you know, they play that way, and I think that's very, you know, it rubs off on everybody else, right? And then, you know, from there, you know, you go right down the list, and I think, you know, a big credit goes to Coach K and Colangelo for picking teams that are pretty well balanced. I mean, they've always made sure to have some of those role players in there, and that helps, you know, the ego bashing from, you know, taking place. But the other aspect, too, is that there's been so much talent, and this is a very strong talent group, you know, age-wise. I mean, if you look at USA Basketball from, like, age 25 to age 30 right now, it is just a stacked group, and that helps because then you're winning, and then winning is infectious, and then everybody's happy because everybody's got gold medals, and there's nothing really to complain about. So, you know, I think it's a much more cohesive program now than it was 10 years ago, and that's all totally due to the leadership. You know, Coach K and Colangelo getting, especially LeBron, but also Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul to really buy in and to represent USA Basketball for more than 10 years. And that's a pretty remarkable achievement because LeBron has so many things he could be doing. He could be in the Trainwreck movie. He could be going to his, you know, the University of Akron and giving out all these scholarships. I mean, he's a guy who's trying to become, you know, a $1 billion, you know, entity in the world. He's going to be giving up 35 days next summer if he goes on that Rio Olympic team. And that's a huge commitment. Yes, he's going to get something from it. He's going to get all the exposure. He's going to sell lots of shoes. He's going to become even more famous. He's going to have more Twitter followers. I mean, it's certainly there's something in it for him, but it's not like he's getting a big $20 million check after he wins a gold medal, right? I mean, there is a level of sacrifice that he's putting in. And so you got to give him credit for doing that. And I think ultimately he doesn't get enough credit for building USA Basketball to where it is because he is a real pull for a lot of these other players. They look at LeBron and they think if LeBron's doing it, we should be doing it too. And that matters.
Right. It absolutely does matter. For a guy who makes $120,000 per tweet, you know, he can really throw money down the drain by, you know, sacrificing his time going over Olympics. And you're absolutely right there. But I think he likes it. I mean, he's a guy who's very competitive. He likes winning. He wants to build his resume. He's kind of a long-term thinker, in my opinion. He's very self-aware of where he is in history and moving forward. And speaking of history, I look forward to seeing the SI 100 ranking. And it's funny, I feel like this is the summer of ranking the best players of all time, because we're also doing it over at Hoops Critic. Josh Eberle is doing it. He polled a bunch of us, and he's putting out a person per day for the next 50 days. So we're getting our top 50, rearranging it a little bit, and we really look forward to it. But Ben, do you have anything else to promote for us while we have you here?
That's most of it. Yeah, so our top 100 is going to be just the top 100 guys of 2016. So we're going to leave the heavy lifting, the historical comparisons to you guys. We're going to keep it easy and just try to, like, forecast, you know, who are going to be the most important players. Every year we tend to get a lot of, pushback. And sometimes the players like to, you know, go on Twitter and take shots, which is always fun. So, we'll see how it comes out. That's the main thing we're working on right now. You know, other than that, just looking forward to a great 2015-16 season. You know, the field of competitors is really deep in terms of Warriors, Spurs, Clippers, Rockets, Thunder, Cavaliers, maybe even the Bulls, if you want to throw them in there. You know, I can't wait for next season. You got a lot of teams who are going to be in the mix. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. All we can do is hope for good health from everybody. You know, if we had one whole season when no superstar got injured, it'd be a miracle, and it'd probably be the best-rated season of all time. But, you know, you guys do a great job over SI. I've been following you guys, you know, from the Zach Lowe days on the point forward, and now you got, you know, Lee Jenkins over there getting exclusive interviews and posts from players. Chris Mannix always does a great job. Yourself and obviously Rob Mahoney. You got a good staff over at SI. So you guys keep on doing what you do, and I'll keep reading.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Everybody, that was Ben Golliver. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Golliver, G-O-L-L-I-V-E-R. You probably do. He has over 20,000 followers. And follow SI.com for all your sporting news. It's not ESPN. It's 10 times better, I promise you, if you're new to the sports world. And that'll do it for us here at the Pull Up Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Welcome to the Pull Up Podcast, brought to you by HoopsCritic.com.